Welcome to Perspectives on BBT Editing, discussions with Garuda Das on editing the published works of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Garuda has been a disciple of Srila Prabhupada since 1972, holds a Ph.D. from Harvard University, is currently faculty at two universities, and has had extensive editorial experience and publishing contracts with Princeton, Yale, Oxford, Columbia, and HarperCollins. On several occasions, the BBT commissioned Garuda to oversee various writing, research, and editorial projects.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Greetings to everyone calling in or listening to this discussion, and I am accompanied by Bhutatma Dasji today, and I'm delighted to have you here, Bhutatmaji. Many devotees may not know much about you, so Bhutatma, you did your work, your graduate studies toward a PhD at one time. Can you give me a little background?
Yes, I went to graduate school at University of California, Irvine, and completed the studies there, went into teaching. So I received my PhD in political science at UCI. I went into teaching, which I've been doing for more than two decades now.
Mm, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Now, you also have a background with the BBT. You actually did some, I think you published a couple of volumes with the BBT. Can you clarify that? I'm not really sure.
Yes. Initially, I joined the movement in 1970, but sometime later, I came to Los Angeles to work with Mukunda Maharaj and Rameshwar Maharaj on BBT publications. So we wrote and produced this series we call the Vedic Contemporary Library Series, which included the first one we did was the Coming Back, Science of Reincarnation, then the Chant and Be Happy, which was an extensive interview with George Harrison, framed by various articles and chapters on chanting, then Higher Taste, the vegetarian book. We did the Origins magazine with Drita Karma and Father Puda. I worked one of the three people working on that. And we did some other things, Who Are They magazine, Atma magazine,
okay,
some others, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, so you've had really an extensive relationship with BBT then. I wasn't aware there was that extensive. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. Well, of course, we're here to discuss, the issue of BBT editing. And really, I guess what is at the heart of the matter, I think, is what our theme is today. So for the next 18 minutes, why don't we go into that? And, one thing occurs to me, Bhutatmaji, and you know this from your own experience as a scholar, is the value of peer review and the value of collegial consultation and so on. And I think of, the Oxford New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV Bible, the Oxford Bible. And I looked in there the other day, and there were 57 editors involved in making sure the text, the translation, etc., was up to snuff, was up to par. And, certainly the Bible deserves it. It is amazing to me that we have only had, one editor per volume. As far as I understand it, the BBT has really only assigned one editor per published volume of Prabhupada's works after Prabhupada left this planet. And this has been a source of consternation and great concern on the part of many, many devotees, and many are troubled by it. Many have found faults in some of the editing. At the same time, I think I know of some very good things that have been done with the editing. My concern is, and I want to know if you agree with me on this. My concern is that why shouldn't the BBT now elevate its editorial structure to a much more professional, much more thoroughgoing editorial process than what has been going on for the past three decades. I know for myself that when I submit a book to a top publisher in the academic world, it has to be reviewed by three peers. It has to go through a whole editorial board of the publisher itself. And once I write the book, it is again then peer-reviewed. And it's not because they don't trust me. It's because that's the way really fine literature is produced. Why shouldn't we have that with the BBT? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say absolutely that's called for. I think things really kind of grew kind of by happenstance almost. And I would even add to that mix that it's not just that the editing is being done by one disciple and he's making these decisions unilaterally. Mm-hmm. But the entire editorial perspective on the Bhagavad Gita as it is has been determined by one disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into the question of his authority momentarily, but I want to make this point that we have a divergence in perspectives. And on one side are so many disciples who feel that the Bhagavad Gita, the Macmillan 72 Gita, was indeed a final published manuscript authorized by Prabhupada. The Prabhupada oversaw its publication, its preparation. He utilized the book for years. He received it joyously. I mean, a picture is worth a thousand words. We have, I believe it's Bhargava's picture of Prabhupada putting the Gita to his head.
Yes.
It's not indicative of someone who was feeling this is incomplete, that this is a work in progress.
Mm.
And that's what this one editor, it, as you say, without consultation, which might have modified this view, and in my view, rectified it, this one individual sees the Macmillan 72, really as an unfinished draft, a work in progress that he has been deputed to complete and finish, of course, all post-samadhi, all without any direct instruction. So I think it's the editing work itself, but it's also very much the perspective that divides the very important opinion on this is, was Mac 72 a completed manuscript, approved, authorized, and satisfactory to our spiritual master, the founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, or was it indeed a work in progress awaiting the hand of one of his disciples who, as you explain, unilaterally and without any clear authority that I've been able to find, we
or
can
training.
Touch on that.
Or training.
Or training, or consultation with those who had training, just moved ahead with that perspective and began to use earlier drafts, which is rather unheard of, as a basis, even superseding, in fact, selectively incorporating earlier drafts to supersede the published manuscript. And I would say in light of that, yes, indeed, we do need some type of editorial board to reconsider the path taken.
Okay. Well, you know, Bhutamaji, I really appreciate the way you articulated the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is the heart of the matter, and I think it is really worthy at this stage of the game. I think at this level of maturing ISKCON, I think we should be now able to go back and look at things and try to do things in a better way. And I think that's, you know, Prabhupada and Krishna calling through the hearts of such disgruntled devotees. You know, I'm sure there's that can go to an extreme. But really, when so many devotees are concerned, and I mean mature, seasoned devotees who have expressed grave concern to me privately and others more publicly, I think we have to listen to that. I really do. At least that's my opinion. I don't know how you feel, but I feel Krishna and Prabhupada works through the hearts of devotees. And,
As you say that, two things come to mind.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Prabhupada's statement that you judge something by its fruits.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as you say that, I think of that as one fruit. The dismay, the disheartenment, the almost despair of many, many. It's not just like you say, one or two people floating about. We're talking about a huge segment, particularly people who knew Prabhupada, you know, personally, direct experience, knew the kind of individual he was. And
yes.
On the other side, the fruits, I think of the profound success of the 72 Macmillan. We talked about this once before. You know, the Macmillan 72 was an incredibly successful publication. And this enterprise is really a solution in search of a problem. There
yes.
is no problem with the Mac 72. It was a resounding success. There
yes.
was no divisiveness in the society. Everyone took it 100% as Prabhupada's word. Everyone felt and heard the voice of the Acharya without question. No one was saying, oh, is this word right? Or, you know, none of those things were even an issue. So there was no need for a solution because, in fact, there was no problem. The problem grew out of this meddling with earlier drafts and questioning, you know, the qualifications of Hayagriva, who worked directly under Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and I believe empowered by Prabhupada to let Prabhupada's voice come through.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are the issues that create the, you know, pain in the hearts of the devotees.
Yes. Really well put. I appreciate it. You know, Bhutamaji, I'm looking right now at a photocopy of the four-page agreement, publishing agreement, with Macmillan Company, 866 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, okay, in 1972. And it's between Macmillan Company and Prabhupada, and Rupanuga Prabhu, one of his very dearest and most trusted disciples. And Prabhupada, I'm looking at it, and, you know, when you, in legal contracts, when you modify a contract, you have to initialize things. The parties have to initialize. And I'm looking at Rupanuga Prabhu's initializations and Prabhupada's initializations. Prabhupada was very... And I bring this up because this is just one indication that Prabhupada was very involved in the success and the finality of the Macmillan 72 edition, that this was not a haphazard process, but a very deliberate process of publication. Mm-hmm. And you know, Bhutamaji, what do you think about this? I mean, as an author myself, and again, I'm not trying to project onto Prabhupada my own experience and my own values, but all I can say is that even if you came along after I died, Bhutama, and you corrected, you said, I know Garuda's work pretty well. In fact, I found some earlier drafts and even some later works that indicate the way Garuda would have done it were he still existing now on the planet. Even if you were correct, even if you did, even if I were to agree with it, I would still be livid, because who are you to just take that liberty to do that? Now, mm-hmm. I don't know that Prabhupada would necessarily feel that way or not, but here's the point. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We do know that Prabhupada authorized 100% the Macmillan 72 edition of his Bhagavad Gita. We know that. I don't think that's disputable.
No.
So your point then is, how in the world, to what extent should we even be involved with any kind of editing? Well, to Rupanuga Prabhu himself, from Prabhupada, February 17th, 1970, Prabhupada says to Rupanuga Prabhu, "Our editing is to correct grammatical and spelling errors only, without interpolation of style or philosophy." What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, what you described there, it's really, the word that comes to mind is unreasonable. It's simply an unreasonable imposition on the works of not just an author like you or I, but an author who is descended from the spiritual world.
That's right.
Who should be accorded the greatest deference.
Right.
I mean, I've had experience, I'm not going to tail off into a personal story much, but very quickly, I've had experience, one devotee, Advaita Acharya, I wrote something, asked me to write a two-page thing, something they needed, they printed, and then they changed a little bit, and they hadn't consulted me. It didn't amount to much, but I'll tell you, for 20 years he apologized to me, and I really, you know, I didn't care that much. It wasn't something I took really invested in. I just did it as kind of an author for hire, you might say. But
right,
that's the standard, and everyone knows it. You do not meddle with the work of an author unless, in the scenario you gave, unless you have his authorization.
Right,
it's a terrible transgression, and I mean, in life, we see. I use the word reasonable. In the law, the police cannot just come in your home because they have some suspicion. They need the authority, a higher authority, someone who approves it, who allows them to make that intrusion. And in this case, the higher authority, of course, is the author himself. And we've never found an author, an investment of authority into anyone to change Prabhupada. The whole trend of Prabhupada's statements on these is leave my things alone, leave my choices alone.
Yes, okay.
And whether it's pictures or phrases or whatever. As you say,
right.
He didn't want it shabby. Those were not his choices. Some little things may have slipped through, commas or typos. But His mandate, and I mean, he beat us over the head with this for
decades.
Leave my choices alone.
Yes. So not only is this an extraordinary and special instance of an author who is representing the glorious parampara of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, and bringing that tradition to the whole world. Not only is this an extraordinary instance of a particular author, such as he, but he also gave instructions and even expressed fear that the disciples would come along and change his books. Am I correct? Is this your reading of what Prabhupada has said?
It's sad to say. You know, we see how well-founded his fears were.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, I'm so sorry to say that. And you know, we have these little anecdotes, and if we have just a moment, I was just going to mention, because to me this illustrates kind of I don't know what word to use here. I don't want to be too harsh. But let's just say, to me, unsatisfactory claims that, for example, and this was in a letter that we recently read, that Prabhupada, this is from one of his disciples, and it's used as a justification for making these wholesale revisions. When Prabhupada heard his books, he was basically so ecstatic that he didn't notice the details. Now, we know that is a very unsatisfactory understanding or explanation of Prabhupada's consciousness. He was certainly relishing Krishna Lila, but we all know very well, we've all been chastised for things we didn't even notice, because his super consciousness simultaneously was residing in Krishna Loka while noticing every minute detail that we couldn't even catch.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? This is really an important point. And while our time is coming to a close, maybe I would like to invite you to come back and talk further with me about this. And I think this may be the most troubling thing for me, Bhutamaji, is that somehow there are certain devotees who feel that they know what Prabhupada would want. And they take that liberty. And, you know, it's even hard enough for either of us to know what any of us would want unless you ask a person. And here, second-guessing the spiritual master, making presumptions about what he would want and what he would do, there's something so violating about that. I think it's worth exploring. So maybe we can even start off with that next time. What do you think?
Great. Let me say one sentence. Making choices, free will, this is at the essence of individuality. This is at the essence of self.
Mm-hmm.
Prabhupada made choices. He made choices. Those are expressions of who he is. And those come through in his voice. And we're just not qualified to meddle with it.
No, in fact, it's our place to respect those choices and to love those choices.
And surrender to those choices.
Yes, yes, indeed. Hey, Bhutamaji, thank you so much. And let's do a part two.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. I have great respect for you, and it's always wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.